ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The investigation into what happened with that cargo ship that slammed into the Key Bridge in Baltimore has only really just begun. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg telling ABC News that the NTSB is taking the lead on the details while his agency focuses on how to make existing bridges safer.
As times have changed, as bridge designs have been modernized, each generation of bridges is more resilient than the last. One of the reasons why we put such a focus on roads and bridges in President Biden's infrastructure plan is to make sure that we have the strongest possible infrastructure.
Six people presumed to have been killed in the Baltimore collapse. Some supply chain management companies say there will be repercussions and Americans should expect shortages after the collapse. Another pause in the enforcement of SB 4, the Texas law that would let police and sheriff's deputies arrest those they think are in the country illegally. A three-judge panel for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals keeping the law on hold. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Supreme Court is letting a lower court ruling stand that a group of Amazon delivery drivers in Wisconsin should be classified as employees. The case is being watched closely for its impact on all kinds of different businesses. 20 elected officials across Wisconsin are urging Wisconsin Democrats to vote uninstructed on Tuesday. They're protesting President Biden's support for Israel's war in Gaza. Meanwhile, 6-12% of Wisconsin voters may go with one of the third party or independent candidates for president in November.
There's this sense that the American political system is broken and not listening to ordinary Americans. So there's lots of disenchantment.
Political scientist Kathy Kramer speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Riverdale School District will be searching for a new administrator. John Schmidt, who has been with the district for 20 years, has resigned effective at the end of the current school year. The Riverdale School Board accepted his resignation at its March 11th meeting. During his tenure with the Riverdale School District, John Schmidt has worked as a middle school teacher, dean of students, high school principal, and dean as the district administrator. The University of Wisconsin-Madison is set to receive more than $56 million in new funding for research initiatives after the passage of two federal appropriations packages. The set of bipartisan bills signed into law by President Joe Biden on March 9th and March 23rd will fund the federal government through September 30th. Both pieces of legislation included funding for research projects specific to UW-Madison. The bill's passage allows the campus to continue research in several high-demand areas, including the social and economic vitality of rural communities and next-generation energy development. With what you need to know, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose to the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter and managed to lose in double overtime at home to the Los Angeles Lakers, the final 128-124. Damian Lillard, and now the Bucks went from hot to cold.
I mean, I thought we got a lot of good looks. We just missed shots. You know, we missed a lot of shots tonight. And that was pretty much what it came down to. And they got a lot of talented players. You know, we saw that when we played them in L.A. And when it's going that way, put yourself in a dogfight. That's what we did, and we came. Sure.
College hoops, the Badgers' A.J. Storr and UWM Panthers' B.J. Freeman announced their intentions to turn pro and become eligible for the NBA draft. NFL, football fans, and many players not happy about the new kickoff rules and formations approved at the owners' meetings in Orlando. The Packers' Mark Murphy voted against it.
Our issue was that it's such a major change, just felt that it made sense to have a trial.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly sunny and cooler today as high temperatures struggle to hit 40. Winds are still a bit breezy, making us feel just a touch cooler as tonight we do crash cold to the teens. But for tomorrow, a bright and beautiful day nearing 50. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Good morning, and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We have a very, very busy show today.
Gunner, we always have a busy show.
We really do always have a busy show. Lots of guests today.
Yeah.
Gunnar Raymer is the political director for a group called Republican Voters Against Trump. And it depends upon, I guess, what you watch, where you watch. But I've seen these ads pop up on YouTube and on Twitter. And Gunnar is going to join us to talk about this campaign. And they are featuring Wisconsin voters. They have former Trump voters from all over the country featured in these testimonials, and we're going to be talking to Gunnar about that. And then over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking to actually two of the men who are from Wisconsin who took part in this, Republican Voters Against Trump. It should be a very interesting conversation. So I'm looking forward to that. Hour number two at 11:06, Professor Leslie Knox from Marquette University will be here. It is the last week of Women's History Month, and Professor Knox has written three books on medieval women. I have so many questions.
You are going to have this. I feel like I should almost leave, not because I'm not a woman, but because it's just going to be filled with wonderful questions from you, like caravan of women in the medieval time, liberal, socialist, communist women in medieval time.
Yes, yes. I like the way you're thinking.
And the way that men put out their intimidating and being intimidated by them out in the world in medieval times. Was it by papers, just by word of mouth, by song?
So much potential there. We're going to talk to Professor Knox at 11:06 during Women's History Month. And as she does every Wednesday at 11:50, weather and wine with our civic media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, will be here to talk about what is coming up, what Easter weekend's going to be like, because Easter is on Sunday.
Happy Holy Week.
Thank you. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. But we're going to start with reminding you to download the Civic Media app. Go to wherever you get your apps for your Android or your Apple phone. Download the Civic Media app so you can take part in our Ride into Spring Text to Win statewide contest. Every weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3, you have a chance to text in the word of the hour, and that gets you entered to win a overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everybody, even the winners, because there's one winner every hour, everyone is entered to win one of two grand prizes, including new bikes. And the other one includes outdoor patio furniture and a fancy blender. Mm. So this hour's word is Wisconsin. W-I-S-C-O-N-S-I-N. Text the word Wisconsin via the Civic Media app. You want to do that wherever you're listening across the Civic Media network. If you're
rolling
in Green Bay,
in.
If you're in Amory, if you are in Racine, if you're here in Waukesha, text the word to the station that you're listening to via the Civic Media app. And again, the word this hour is Wisconsin, W-I-S-C-O-N-S-I-N, and good luck. So much to cover in this first half hour, Greg Bach. And you mentioned it right off the bat. Happy Holy Week.
Happy Holy Week.
Now, I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school. Mm-hmm. We went to Mass every day until I was in about fifth grade.
Wow. I was raised, I went to St. Mary's here in Waukesha, then St. Joe's, then CMH here in Waukesha. My family did not go to Mass. I think my father was like, they go during school. And we went once a week.
Oh, we went every day.
Wow.
For many, many years. And then I want to say it went down to once a week. But also, my father was a mortician. Mm-hmm. Our church was right next door.
Yeah.
And I did Stations of the Cross. And yeah. I did all of those things. And I remember that with great clarity. Not once have I ever heard anyone say, Happy Holy Week. Happy Easter, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy Holy Week, no. Because if you look at the timeline of what happens this week, according to the Bible, this wasn't such a good week.
At least for one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if anyone ever said, you're right, Happy Easter. I don't think anyone ever said Happy Good Friday.
No.
Or
that's the day he was crucified. It's
have a good old holly jolly Holy Thursday.
No.
Okay.
It's Maundy Thursday. That's tomorrow. That's when they had the Last Supper. And when Jesus was betrayed by Judas, it happens tomorrow on Thursday.
Yeah.
And we bring this up because the former president said Happy Holy Week on his Truth Social yesterday.
Jimmy Carter?
No, the former President Trump.
Oh.
And announced that he is selling Bibles.
What's it called?
God Bless the USA Bible.
That's right.
Along with Lee Greenwood.
Yeah.
Who has, you know, the song God Bless the USA. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Used to make me cry. That song used to make me cry when I was a baby boy.
Yeah.
And then like mid-2000s, I'm like, I'm over this. This seems like a ploy.
Well, he's teamed up with Donald Trump, Lee Greenwood, and Donald Trump now selling the God Bless the USA Bible for only $59.99. It can be yours.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
The God Bless the USA Bible, Greg Bach, can be yours for only $59.99.
Does it come with like a piece of the cross or a Eucharist to
but
pop?
It includes a copy of the Constitution.
Oh, good.
And the Declaration of Independence.
Thank goodness.
And I just, when I originally saw this yesterday afternoon, I thought it was a joke. I did. I thought it was a joke because it sounded like a skit he did on Saturday Night Live many years ago involving chickens. So, Calvin, can we play that Trump chicken clip, please?
Cock-a-doodle-doo, folks. I'm Donald Trump. And there's two things in the world I love, a good deal and a good meal. Join me at Donald Trump's House of Wings.
That's from Saturday Night Live many, many years ago.
2004.
2004.
Because he hosted in 2016.
He did.
He did. He got a lot. Saturday Night Live got a lot of flack for letting. Yeah. This was 2004 when he was kind of fun back then. I don't know.
I guess.
It makes me laugh. I like a good deal and a good meal.
Trump chicken. He's always been selling stuff.
Yeah. That's his life. I mean,
this just seems very improper. And for people of faith,
yeah,
I would think this is painful.
Well, Jane, what we also have to remember is that he's selling them and he's going to donate all the money to people who are needy and hungry.
Is that what he said?
No, I was setting you up to tell me I'm wrong.
Because you are wrong.
I'm wrong?
Yes,
you're wrong. He's not going to give it to the less fortunate?
No, he is right now the less fortunate.
Mm. Okay. What's he going to do with the money, Jane?
Probably pay off his legal bills.
There it is. Ding, ding, ding.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you are a person of faith, how do you feel about the former president hawking a Bible for around $60? This is part of the announcements that he made yesterday. Calvin, play the Trump Bible clip, please.
God bless the USA Bible, and it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. And I truly believe that we need to bring them back, and we have to bring them back fast. I think it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We've lost religion in our country. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book.
Yeah. And his favorite verse is 2 Corinthians, as we all remember, when he was at Liberty University, and that question came up, what's your favorite Bible verse? It's not 2 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians. That's the way it's always been referred, as 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians walk into a bar. Am I right? Hey-oh! Okay. So, yes, it doesn't surprise me that he's doing this, that he's selling Bibles.
Really?
No, because the shoes, the NFTs, anything, really when it comes down to it, he's going to sell anything that connects with people. Steaks, booze, planes, school, all failed him. What do people like now? They like shoes. There's things out there that connect, and the Bible does, especially with those people who think he's been literally sent by God. The NFTs sold out. The shoes sold out. I don't know if these will sell out or they'll keep printing them, but also, we live in a day and age where we got quite a few people on the TV and the radio and in all the medias selling their version of the Bible as well. It might not be a physical Bible, but they're making money off of it too. He's just another guy in the pile.
Yeah, but I just think if any other former president was doing this, the outrage and the claims of blasphemy.
The
shrieking would never stop. And justifiably so. I think this is really improper. And again, if for people of faith, this has to just hurt to see it cheapened like this.
Yeah, a texter from the 414 saying, I'm not surprised he's selling Bibles. I'm so sad that so many people are falling for this. Because those people out there that you might be worrisome for, like the people who have faith and don't like him, they're not going to buy the Bible. They're going to be like, whatever, just another thing he's doing. What a scum. But the people out there who, as I mentioned, think he is sent by God as an imperfect prophet to save this country, those are the ones I worry about. And I legitimately worry. I don't know why you'd want to do this. I don't know why you'd want to buy one. I'm sure if you're a person of faith, you have at least one, if not more, Bibles at home.
At home already.
And they're going to be great. And I want to know what the language difference are. Is it just the same King James Bible with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence? Because then you've been, I'll send you a Bible. I've got some.
If you're looking for one.
If you're looking for one, I'll send it to you for free.
Trump is coming to Wisconsin next week. He will be in Green Bay, of course, on April 2nd, the day of the primary election. They're going to hold a rally at the Hyatt Regency. Look for the merch booth, I guess. And maybe if you're lucky, Trump will autograph it for you.
That'll make it worth $64.
All right. When we return, faster than a Scaramucci. That didn't take very long. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Planning for spring at Lowe's means big savings on outdoor power equipment. And Lowe's knows nothing feels better than free. Buy one select Ego string trimmer, leaf blower, or mower kit. Get one select 56-volt battery free. That's up to a $299 value. Power through spring with Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 4/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide, Calvin on the board, and coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Wherever you are listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, you can always join the show at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're going to talk about Faster Than a Scary Moochie in just a couple seconds, but we wanted to wrap up what we started off with. Donald Trump yesterday announcing he's now hawking Bibles. God Bless the USA Bible for $59.99. That can be yours.
Mm-hmm. And we got some text on the topic. Mark from the SAC says, I have brothers who wouldn't think I'm a person of faith, but this hawking of the Bible is, just to put it mildly, unsettling.
I agree.
And Jack from Merrimack sends a message in saying, Trump, it's very important to me. He's got that right. It's all about the grift to bring in more money for him and getting someone else to pay his legal bills and fraudulent actions. And then, I guess I didn't know this, a little piece of history from Ben in Richland Center. He says, think about Eisenhower hawking golf clubs and golf balls while he was in office.
Oh,
I don't know if he did, or if you were asking us to paint a picture of if he did that. But apparently he was a huge golfer. Like, he loved it.
And you and I were talking off the air because I genuinely don't know. I mean, every campaign has some campaign merch, right? There's always some campaign merchandise.
Yep. Yes.
There's buttons or hats or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a new step here.
Yeah, Obama.
This is a new step.
I worked for the Obama campaign in 2008. We had amazing, amazing merch. And not once did anyone suggest selling the Obama Bible.
Can you imagine if Obama had done this? Can you imagine?
No.
The outcry, the screaming, the shrieking. It blows my mind.
I'm trying to imagine him doing it then, which would have been crazy, and now people would have absolutely burned buildings to the ground.
Oh yeah. Ben from Richland Center says Eisenhower was not selling it. I just wanted you to imagine it.
There it is. Okay. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And then just one last one is just says, where can I get one? The internet.
Go to Truth Social. I'm sure you'll find it. Karina from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Karina. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Greg, to Greg's point that they are sold out, I don't even think it's all limited edition. So basically, it's a scam. It's true scam. He doesn't invest anything, he just puts his name in, and makes other people to produce the factories and everything for him. So he doesn't invest, he doesn't do anything. He just collects money, and he collects money as an excuse that he's a great businessman, and this is how he's planning on running this country.
Yeah, his money problems. Thank you so much, Karina. His money problems should concern everyone.
Yeah. And
especially if he's going to be getting outside money, out of country money, to help pay his legal bills. Although Truth Social going public yesterday has done really well.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it bombed. Didn't it bomb?
It
came back.
It came back.
All right.
But yeah, Karina, you're so right. As far as he's always been a grifter. And I saw Pat Kreitlow post on Twitter this morning when he saw that Donald Trump is going to be coming to Green Bay. He said, hey, guys, make sure he pays up front because he doesn't pay his bills.
Yes. And I've also mentioned that if you are going to host a political event, make the amount you want the deposit.
That's really smart.
Yeah. And it's not just the RNC. It's the DNC has done it too. But the RNC is famous for paying you the deposit, then leaving town, being like, we don't care the money. Yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah. Tom from LA on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. Second, can we just start branding his name as the grifter rather than, his real name? Because I think it should be great to have a out front of his different properties and stuff like that on his properties. Grifter should be what it should say instead of Trump. Just grifter. No, what do you think?
I don't think that's a bad idea. I think he would embrace that.
Yeah.
I actually do. I think he would say, I'm not a grifter. I'm a smart businessman. I know how to separate people from their money. Why is that bad?
If that makes me a grifter, then so be it.
Exactly. Then I'll be the best grifter that there is.
I have the biggest brain for grifting.
I have the biggest grift.
Yeah.
I have the best grift. All right. Moving along faster than a Scaramucci. Wow, that didn't take long.
No.
Ronna McDaniel out at NBC after what she debuted on Sunday.
Was she actually ever on a show?
She was on Meet the Press.
Oh, she.
With Kristen Welker on Sunday.
But she wasn't she didn't get her own show.
No, but she was going to be a paid contributor, so yeah, sure they expected to have her on a bunch of the different shows.
Gotcha.
And then Chuck Todd came right out on Sunday saying, well, this was not a good idea. And then Rachel Maddow had a brilliant takedown on Monday night. And so, yeah. Anthony Scaramucci lasted in the Trump administration, I think, 11 days.
Yeah.
Ronna's out in two.
And her agents have cut her, too.
That's interesting.
CAA
have
dumped her.
That's really fascinating.
That's weird, because I have to imagine they represent worse people than that. And I guess I need to go to Ronna McDaniel's school and figure out why she is so horrible.
Well, it was all... She helped with the big lie. I mean, it's all been about, and she was personally involved in like calling people in Michigan.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
She had her hands all over the big lie that the election was stolen, blah, 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 blah. And it's been proven over and over and over again in court, ruled by some Trump appointed judges that the election was not stolen.
And because she wasn't able to get him in office, that's why he hates her now.
Well, and don't forget, he's the one who got her fired.
Yeah.
At the RNC, so he could replace her with his daughter-in-law.
Seems like she probably would have done the work if she would have been told.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's not like she was offering any pushback, and that's why they got rid of her.
Yeah, it's very, very odd. I mean, granted, there are no Ronna McDaniels in that sense, but when the media likes to point fingers so hard like that, I still think back. I'm like, you're the ones who all gave him like $3 billion of free advertising in 2015 and 16.
You're not wrong.
You're the ones who put him on television for free for hours at a time and talked about him incessantly. And this guy who was supposed to be out in the primaries wormed his way into our consciousness. So.
CBS NBC Universal Chairman Cesar Conde made it official last night, took responsibility for the hiring. After listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, I have decided that Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. No organization, especially a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned. Well, maybe you should have asked some of these folks before you pulled the trigger.
That's the kind of thing where that I chalk that up to another thing of, you're in a room with people making this decision. How did not one person raise their hand going, this could be bad?
Yeah.
Let's look at the path not taken and calculate the costs. Because she's going to attorneys. She's talking to lawyers now.
Oh, yeah.
If she sues NBC, they're going to settle big.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, now we have a faster time measurement than a Scaramucci. It's a Ronna. So work that into your daily lexicon and enjoy.
Are we measuring this in Scaramucci's or Ronna's?
Ronna's, exactly. Okay. News is coming up next. Then when we return, very excited to be talking to Gunnar Raymer, who is the political director for Republican Voters Against Trump. You don't want to miss it. Stay here. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Donald Trump will hold his first Wisconsin rally of the presidential campaign on Tuesday. His campaign says Trump will visit Green Bay on the day of the state's presidential primary election. Wisconsin's a battleground state, and the Marquette poll says only 2% of voters in Wisconsin have not made up their minds. President Biden's campaign co-chairman is in La Crosse and Wausau today talking about boosting the economy with infrastructure projects.
Billions of dollars have been sent down from Joe Biden to the governor and to the mayors and to communities like this that have helped, you know, change people's lives.
Mitch Landrieu spearheaded the president's trillion-dollar infrastructure plan. He met with mayors in Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, and Sheboygan yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A six-year-old child remains in critical but stable condition after a crash in Muscadet on March 16th, according to Channel 3000. Muscadet police say fire and EMS were dispatched to the intersection of 2nd Street and Warehouse Street. Witnesses stated the ATV was traveling at a high rate of speed on 2nd Street when it crashed into a trailer being pulled by a pickup. The ATV was traveling approximately 34 miles an hour in a 25-mile-per-hour zone before the crash. The man has been released from the hospital and was cited for several violations, including operating an ATV without a valid license and operating an ATV in a careless manner. A construction project is underway to add lanes to Highway 14 in Westby. The project will widen North Main Street and also add a roundabout at its intersection with Main Street. The cost of the project is $11.8 million. Highway 14 will stay open with some detours, and construction will last until next summer.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
I'm Pete with the 60-second showbiz beat. Okay, romantics, season 28 of The Bachelor is in the books, and tabloids, including the New York Post, are calling the finale absolutely jaw-dropping. Apparently, no one saw Bachelor Joey Grazadeh handing a rose and proposing to the finalist who said yes. See, jaw-dropping would have been the appropriate headline if she said no. But instead, this season ended like the previous 27 seasons, in routine, jaw-dropping fashion. Here's hoping they last until the premiere of season 29. Say what you want about reality TV, but they are making strides in diversity. The Hollywood Reporter says The Bachelorette will have an Asian-American lead for the first time. 25-year-old Jen Tran has been selected for the show's 21st season to fend off prospective husbands. Tran was eliminated from this season of The Bachelor, but sometimes 15 minutes of fame comes with a snooze alarm. Good luck, Jen. We hope you find TV love. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny and cooler today as high temperatures struggle to hit 40. Winds are still a bit breezy, making us feel just a touch cooler as tonight we do crash cold to the teens. But for tomorrow, a bright and beautiful day nearing 50. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dudead.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show if you want to call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest join us. He is the political director for an organization called Republican Voters Against Trump. Gunnar Raymer is here. Good morning, Gunnar. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself before we get too deep into to this organization and what they're doing? What is your background like?
Sure. I have worked, I guess my background is that I worked on Republican campaigns in the past. I've been a Republican my whole life. I like to tell people that I grew up with dogs named Nixon and Reagan and Duke as well, who is a Republican governor from California. That's where I'm originally from. But I have been against Trump from the very get-go. The moment he stepped down that escalator and we saw rhetoric that was very much against immigrants that came to this country. And I believed from the start that that was a terrible thing. But to be very clear-headed about where things are right now, the Republican Party is Donald Trump's Republican Party. He certainly activated something back in 2015 and 2016 when he initially ran for president, and his grip on the Republican Party has only continued. And I guess I've been a little bit naive. I thought after the 2020 loss, I thought after January 6th, I thought after his midterm performance with his handpicked candidates, particularly in the swing states like Wisconsin with Tim Michaels, that Republican leaders and Republican primary voters would say enough is enough. And they have not decided to do so. So again, I'm happy to talk about our campaign, Republican Voters Against Trump. In 2020, we also had Republican Voters Against Trump. It was a very successful effort in elevating the voices of Republicans. And in 2022, we had state-specific campaign, particularly in places where we thought democracy was very much on the ballot, in a place like Wisconsin, too. We ran Republican Voters Against Michaels, and that was a successful race for us.
Gunnar Raymer is our guest. He is the political director of Republican Voters Against Trump. Before you joined us, Gunnar, we were talking about Donald Trump's latest effort to grift and selling Bibles now, the God Bless the USA Bible. And we have a clip from a Wisconsin voter named Lori, who is part of Republican Voters Against Trump, that I wanted us to take a listen to.
My name is Lori. I'm from Wisconsin, and I am a former Trump voter. If I were talking to somebody who was on the fence about voting for Donald Trump or Joe Biden, I'd say, first of all, what you have to do is you have to watch both of them. Watch, pick a channel. I don't care which channel. Listen to what they say. Listen to the false, ugly, mean rhetoric coming out of Trump's mouth, and then listen to, go back and watch the State of the Union address that with Biden. Just go watch that. Yes, they're both elderly, period. They can't change that. But look at January 6th. That was an insurrection. Those are not hostages in prison. They broke the law. Many of them pleaded guilty.
And she's right. And I think, is that something that is a thread that you see with Republican voters against Trump, Gunnar? Is it January 6th in particular that has turned so many people away?
Yeah, I think that's right. With Republican Voters Against Trump, which is a $50 million campaign that we announced recently, and we're targeting six states, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, and all of our grassroots testimonial supporters that we are highlighting, elevating, and emphasizing are former Trump supporters. And I'd say there's a few things. With the 2016 Trump supporter, but they didn't vote for Trump in 2020, they probably didn't like the way he handled himself while in office, right? They wanted a businessman outsider. They didn't like Hillary Clinton, but they didn't like what they got, and they decided not to vote for Trump, oftentimes voting for Biden in 2020. But when you're talking with two-time Trump supporters, something like January 6th rubbed them the wrong way. These are conservative, traditional-type Republicans who looked at what happened on January 6th and said, this is the exact opposite of what it means to be a conservative. But I'd say that an important part of our messaging strategies, it's not just backward looking into things like the election denialism, January 6th, the churn in Trump's cabinet, but they're forward facing too. These voters are concerned when Trump says that he's willing to terminate the Constitution, when Trump says that he's willing to be a dictator on day one. That very much bothers them. And one more point on that, that messaging and political advertising is very important, but the strategy that we landed on is the messenger, right? That we can make flashy political ads all day long, and we're going to continue to do so. But what really works and persuades the center-right suburban college-educated voter that this decided the election in 2020 for Biden, that supported Governor Tony Evers over Tim Michaels in Wisconsin, is hearing from messengers like themselves. So again, messaging is very important, but the messenger of showing voters people that remind them of themselves is a very important part of our program this cycle.
Gunnar Raymer is our guest. He's the political director for Republican Voters Against Trump. And if you go to their website, and we'll include your website in our show notes, Gunnar, when the show is over, you can go to any state wherever you live, and you will have testimonials there from folks. How did these folks find you guys?
Yeah, we have a big emailing list, and then we reach out to them directly, and we say, hey, you are the exact type of voter that we're looking for. Do you want to hop on a call, and we can elevate your message? And I will say that not only do we go out to our supporters, but people are now going to our website and sending videos into us, and we think that we are building a very important movement. And of course, the majority of the Republican Party, and I'd say that number is about 70%, likes Donald Trump, likes the America First policies, but there's about 30% of the Republican Party, and that's how much Nikki Haley got
right
in a lot of the early voting states. Another number to throw out there is about 30% of the Republican Party doesn't believe the election was stolen. They think that Joe Biden is the legitimate president. So we think that that 30%, again, it's not a major chunk of the Republican Party, but they are significant in terms of these are the people who are deciding elections. And among those 30%, I'd say about half probably already voted for Biden. And of course, that other 15% within that block, some of them are going to come home to the Republican Party. That's just a natural fact of our politics. But we think that there is a persuadable segment within that block who are the persuadable voters who are going to decide the election, just like they did in 2020, just like they did in 2022. I mean, Donald Trump is a proven loser. His party lost in the midterms in 2018. He himself lost in 2020, and in a very poor national environment for Democrats, right? We would do focus groups with Republicans, swing voters, and they were upset about the economy, inflation, gas prices, particularly in places like Arizona and Nevada, where they were higher relative to the rest of the country, and they would want to vote for the generic Republican. But when we brought up these extreme anti-small D Democratic candidates, they rejected them. They didn't want to vote for Carrie Lake. They didn't want to vote for Tim Michaels. They didn't want to vote for Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania. We couldn't find a single swing voter who wanted to support Doug Mastriano. And I would just say to the Republican Party, both to the leaders and the base, this is a proven strategy that leads to a bunch of losses. But by my estimation, the Republican Party just hasn't learned their lesson yet.
And I guess that's where I keep on going back to. You say it's the 30% that don't want to vote for him, don't like him. I don't understand, with such a, like, as you say, a track record of loss, both for himself and for the party and for candidates, why people keep floating back to, I mean, there's some people who just love him. There's no getting around that. People who think he's literally sent by God above to fix this country. But then there are politicians who you can tell they don't like him, but they follow because it's like there'll be a retribution if they don't. I'm not looking to call out names. I guess to me, some of the people who follow are far more powerful in Washington than he is. And I just don't understand what kind of trance he puts on people. It's boggling to my mind. And as someone, you said you've been against him since the beginning, which I imagine has not been easy for you the past 10 years. I mean, what do you think it is about him that either makes people follow him or fear him?
Donald Trump back in 2015 and 2016, as we spoke about earlier, tapped into something within the Republican Party base. He activated something. And I think what he did is activate this sense of victimhood, grievance, politics.
Grievance.
And that is exactly what the base wants. And we did focus groups after the midterms in 2022, early part of 2023, and there was a wanting of someone other than Trump, right? They were frustrated that a red wave turned into a red mirage. Yeah. And the clear alternative back then was Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, right? They took a look at him winning a traditional swing state by 20 points. But the thing about DeSantis was they viewed him in relation to Trump. They said that he was Trump without the baggage or Trump not on steroids. And he turned a purple state into a red state. But as we saw before DeSantis even announced with his questionable signing of a strict abortion bill, his disaster of a launch on X, that he lacked a clear political talent. And at the same exact time that DeSantis had this lack of political talent, the indictments were coming out. And it wasn't just one indictment. It was a string of indictments where Trump sucked up all the oxygen out of the news cycle. And again, what I mentioned about tapping into the victimhood grievance politics is what the indictments did is remind these Republican primary voters exactly why they liked Trump in the first place, that he was anti-establishment. And he said it himself. He goes, these indictments, they're not about coming after me. They're coming after you, the average, everyday Republican primary voter. And again, at the same exact time that DeSantis was struggling, those indictments were coming out. And his grip remains on the Republican Party. One more thing that I'd add is that while Trump's baggage and his electability was a concern, there was polling coming out saying that Biden was struggling against Trump. And I think the best pitch that candidates had, Republican candidates had against Trump, was electability. And that argument was naturally not becoming as strong. And it was, I think it put Republicans who wanted to be Trump alternatives in a really difficult position.
If you're just joining us, Gunnar Raimer is our guest. He's the political director for Republican Voters Against Trump. They do have a whole Wisconsin section if you want to go listen to what some fellow Wisconsinites have to say. We do have a couple clips. Kelvin, let's play one of those, please.
Hi, my name is Steve. I'm a former Trump voter. I voted for him in 2020. I live in Wisconsin right now. His views on Ukraine and his comments on Ukraine, like he will take care of the war on day one, can only mean that he will, let Putin have what he's gained and maybe more. And I just don't think that is fair to the Ukrainian people. I don't think that's fair to freedom and democracy or to Europe. Europeans are very concerned about what Putin's doing, which is why Finland and Sweden have joined the NATO. Sweden has been neutral for many years, decades, and Putin's recent aggression has made them join sides now.
That is an interesting switch that all of a sudden, Gunnar, we love Putin so much. When did that happen? And how do Trump supporters square that with their other hero, Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, I'm not sure so much that the Republican base voter now cares about Ronald Reagan. I think that it's a shame. I would say, though, that the people who are doing our testimonials, as we just heard, they support aid to Ukraine. They support standing up to Putin. And these are traditional Reagan-type Republicans who continue to not recognize the Republican Party of today. But why has the party shifted like this? Donald Trump tapped into the isolationist wing of the Republican Party. He says it himself, America first. And we hear it in focus groups with Republican primary voters all the time that this type of Republican Party that supports democracy here and abroad just isn't what they want.
Gunnar, do you have time to stick around for one more segment?
Sure.
That would be great. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the center, WRCE.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin B. coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is in the process of ruining. If you're just joining us, our guest is Gunnar Raymer. He is the political director for an organization called Republicans Against Trump, and they have been collecting testimonials for people all over the country. You can check out more Wisconsin testimonials on their website at Republican Voters Against Trump. Gunnar, we were talking about NATO a little bit and Ukraine and Russia, and there does seem to be, as you said, among more traditional Reagan conservatives, they understand the importance of NATO. They understand what it would mean for us to pull out.
Yeah, they certainly do. And I think that that issue of supporting Ukraine can be very potent for the types of voters that we are looking to persuade. I think when you see our testimonials, we have a lot of veterans. I know there's one specific testimonial where he talks about being part of an effort with NATO. And that is one of the reasons that he can't get behind Trump. So when you look at, there's going to be a whole host of messages that are really important and persuadable for the audiences that we are targeting. But again, invoking the sense of, hey, I'm a traditional Republican. I remember voting for Ronald Reagan. I remember standing up to the USSR as a country. But Donald Trump is not doing that today is going to be very important to elevate. And again, if people want to go to our website and hear our testimonials, I think that that is one of the common threads that they will hear throughout the people that support our campaign.
Calvin, let's hear another clip from another Wisconsin voter, Republican Against Trump.
Hello, I'm David, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin. I was an alternate delegate to the 2016 National Republican Convention in Cleveland. I did vote for Donald Trump in 2020. Never again. I think he disqualified himself by leading the insurrection on January 6th. I thought he had a successful presidency, but he's had a horrific post-presidency. He led the mob against the Constitution, really, in trying to overturn a duly elected president. He lost, and January 6th is a disgrace, a stain on our history. As General Mark Milley said, we swear an oath to the Constitution. Donald Trump has already said what he thinks about the Constitution. It's not good.
I highly encourage you to go to Republican Voters Against Trump and look at some of the other testimonials. There's a whole bunch of them. But and we're going to be talking to two of these guys from Wisconsin over the next couple of weeks. They're going to be joining the show. So I will be very curious to hear from them as well. Yeah. Gunnar, you mentioned that there are policies that Trump supporters really liked that he did. But I guess my question is, he never replaced Obamacare with anything better. They never put forward an infrastructure plan. They didn't build the wall. Mexico never paid a dime for it. So what they like the tariffs that he put in place? I guess I don't understand where the victories are.
Yeah, I think that's also something that comes up in our testimonials, that Trump had a bunch of promises and he didn't deliver on them. I think that is a major part. And I want to touch on before I leave that the person that you just played the testimonial, he mentioned Mark Milley. And one thing that I've been incredibly disappointed by is the Republicans who know better not speaking out and supporting or at least not endorsing Donald Trump, because they know better, right? And the people that are doing our testimonials, these are average, everyday Republican voters. And you know what they're willing to do? Speak out against Trump, because they know how damaging Trump can be to our Constitution. They understand the ramifications of what a second Trump administration would be. And I think that there are a bunch of Republican leaders out there who aren't willing to speak up. One thing that I was encouraged by is former Vice President Mike Pence refusing to endorse Trump. I think that that can send the necessary permission structure that our testimonials also do to the more establishment type Republicans, saying, you know what, it's okay if I don't vote for Trump. The things that led to January 6th, the election denialism, that's really bad for our country. Nikki Haley has also refused to endorse Trump, which I think is good. As we talked about, a lot of the persuadable voters supported Haley in the primary, or at least wanted to. But I encourage Republican leaders out there to speak out against Trump, because that can be a very powerful thing. This election is going to come down to thousands, if not hundreds, of votes, and every last bit counts. And what we are trying to do is keep the anti-Trump coalition together that let Biden win in 2020. And I think that, you know, having everybody encourage Republicans not to endorse Trump, both at the grassroots level and at the grass tops level, is a really important dynamic going forward.
You know, one of the things you mentioned earlier, Gunnar, was the fact that you were not on board with him from the beginning. And I mentioned that it must have been hard for you through the years, the almost 10 years now since he came to the political scene. How has it been seeing people peel away from that train, come to you and say, you know what, you were right? I'm not even a you were right, I was wrong, but more just like, I can't do this. It's too much. It wasn't what I thought it would be. I mean, those conversations had to have been very difficult, because, you know, people really hook their star to that train. And when they're disappointed, you know, that sucks.
Yeah. The thing that we always say is voting is tribal, and not voting with your tribe is a really difficult thing to mm-hmm. do. And when we do focus groups with swing voters, when we do these testimonials, you really feel for these voters. I say that the swing voter is the most thoughtful voter out there, and they're really struggling with the choices that they've had to make in the past. And they say the one thing we hear constantly is they go, I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left me,
yep. yeah.
right? They invoke what Reagan said about the Democratic Party. And yeah, you do feel for these voters, but the thing that I encourage them is that you are the margin maker. You are making a difference, right? That in politics, there's only so much in our control. And particularly if you live in the swing states, or even if you don't live in the swing states and you vote not for Trump, but Republican down ticket, you are sending a signal that this is a political party that you can't support. And I think that that is, again, they feel politically homeless, but they have a very important role in our electoral politics today.
Gunnar Raymer is the political director for Republican Voters Against Trump. Thank you so very, very much, Gunnar. I have a feeling we are going to talk again before November. Really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Happy to come back anytime.
Stay with us. News is coming up next, and then we're talking Women's History Month. This is Matt Nair on air. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Tune in for a whopper of a Wednesday edition Devils Advocates Radio Show. Donald Trump's under a gag order. Will he honor it? You'll have to tune in to find out if he's broken it yet.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says the twisted metal and frigid water conditions are making